morning we'll be in chapter 28 of Job. Again, this is a continuation of Job speaking. And again, Job speaks of being what? Hated and persecuted. What did Job do to be hated and persecuted? Nothing. He loved God. He was obedient to God. That's it. So when you do that, you know you can be hated and persecuted for no reason. And that's just the way it works. Again, this is our life. And these are things coming out of our mouth. So we'll start in the first verse. Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. He sets an end to darkness and searches out all perfection. The stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaks out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up and are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it comes bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it has dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knows, and which the vulture's eye has not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He puts forth his hand upon the rock. He overturns the mountains by the roots. He cuts out rivers among the rocks, and his eyes sees every precious thing. He binds the floods from overflowing. The thing that is hid brings he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knows not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depths said, "It is not in me," and the sea said, "It is not with me." It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, "We have heard the fame thereof with our ears." God understands the way thereof, and he knows the place thereof. For he looks into the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weighs the measures, the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and the way of the lightning of thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." There's a lot of good stuff in here. Job is continuing this discourse with his so-called friends, okay? And he says, it should start out saying, because there is a place for the silver, okay? There's a place for the silver and a place for the gold. Now, where they find it, there's the problem with this verse. It should say it this way, because there is a place for the silver and a place for the gold to be extracted. Doesn't that make sense? There's a place for gold and a place for silver to be extracted, right? We know that silver speaks of redemption, doesn't it? We know gold speaks of the nature of God. There's a place for it to be extracted. There's a time and a place for everything under the sun, isn't there? There's a place and a time for God to seek his redemption in us. There's a time and a place for God to seek his nature in us. It's not up to us, is it? See, that's a humanistic view, thinking that we have to do something to prepare ourselves to get us where God can love us. Why would you have to take a shower before you take a bath? Clean yourself up so he can clean you up. Does it make any sense? It doesn't to me. If God's going to clean me up, he's going to clean the whole mess, because I am a mess until he cleans me up, right? It's the sin consciousness of man. It's the humanistic view of man. See, when you're living in humanism and everything around you is humanistic, you think those thoughts. You think you're responsible for everything. I'm going to tell you right now, you didn't start this thing and you ain't going to finish it. God started it and he'll finish it. Period. He said, iron is taken out of the earth or the dust. What does iron represent? Stubborn will, stiff-necked, okay? So he says, iron is taken out of the earth. Well, that ought to tickle you plumb pink. He said he's going to take it out, right? It's the way he gets it out that ain't easy. But God's going to get it out. See, there's the good thing. God's going to get it out. He is very faithful to do it. And brass is molten out of the stone. Correct? Now, what does brass represent? Sin. It could be sin or judgment, but sin here. See, he's going to take the sin or the penalty of the judgment out of the stones. Correct? Didn't the book say we are lively stones built one upon another? Well, that ought to make you just plumb shout. Because he's going to molten it out. See the word molten? You know what that means? Hot fire. You think it's going to be comfortable? Just like the refiner's fire. He can be a consuming fire or a refining fire. I'll prefer the refining fire. Not as hot. The third verse starts out and says, he sets an end to darkness. Everything we're talking about here, and you have to take the context of this. When I said God's going to do this stuff, you've got to back up into the 27th chapter, into the 22nd verse, the last few verses, and it says, because God shall do these things. And the context carries right on down what he's doing. See, man separated these things up here in chapters and verses, but God, this writing was from God, and the context is God is going to do all these things. Correct? Not me or you. And whenever it says he, we're talking of God, okay? This whole chapter, when it's talking of he, it's always talking of God. And I'll tell you if it's not. He sets an end to the darkness or ignorance. Oh, there ought to be a cool one you ought to like. I mean, good Lord, everybody'd love to get rid of ignorance, wouldn't they? Most people think that ignorance is a bad thing. It's not that bad if you want to get rid of it. It can be got rid of real easy with a little bit of knowledge and information, can it? And he searches out all what? It says all perfection, and that's not a correct word. He searches out all the ends. He goes to every extremity and finds the very extremity of everything. He's already got it figured out. So nothing's going to sneak up on him. The stones of darkness and what? The shadow of death. And you know what it says there, really? It's the word Sheol. The grave. So the stones of darkness and the shadow of death, the grave. He said, I search it all out. He knows what's happening in our passing away of the flesh, doesn't he? Yeah, there's nothing new to God, no shock. It says the flood or the stream breaks out from the inhabitant. Where did it break out of? It came out of the inhabitant. You think he's really talking about a flood of water? It's everything within us. It breaks out because of all this testing, the iron and brass being molten out of the stones. Yeah, it all has to come out. Forgotten from the inhabitant, forgotten by the what? All the things in us that's been forgotten by the what? The feet or the life. There you go. See, we've forgotten the lifestyle that we had. And we've taken on a new lifestyle. We've taken on this humanistic stuff. Just like in the garden. See, we took on the knowledge of good and evil rather than the tree of life, the nature of God. See, we've forgotten something. They are dried up. They are gone away from where? Humanity. They're gone away from men or humanity. The earth from men. And see those first two words in verse 5? They're added words. As for, those shouldn't be there. So it says they are gone away from humanity, the earth. That's why it should read right together. All these verses should read together. It should literally say they are gone away from humanity, the earth. And the word the earth should probably be like in parentheses is expressing something about what he just said. Yeah, the earth. He's saying the earth is humanity. Out of it comes what? Bread or food for man and beast. Should say there's food for man and beast coming out of the earth. And under it is what? It should say it this way. And under it and over it, as it were, fire. So there's fire surrounding the whole earth. Guess what we are? We're earth, and we're surrounded by fire. We're talking about tribulation and pressures of life, aren't we? We're not talking about literal things. I want to back up here in that fifth verse again for something. It says, out of it comes bread for man or beast. What would that tell you? It's the word of God, but yet it's saying there's something in there to feed the beast nature and the man nature, both ways. There's something for everything in there. If I want to live in the beast nature, guess what I can do? I can find food. Look at the people out here scratching for a living. People that are millionaires and still scratching every day like they're not going to make it. That's the beast nature. There's never any peace in someone's life like that. And man, all their money couldn't buy the peace that I possess in my life. I wouldn't trade it. They can keep their money. I'll stay with my peace. Never giving that up. And you shouldn't either. Verse 6, the stones of it, speaking of the earth, are the source of sapphires and the dust of the gold. So he's saying the earth is the source of all these man-loved things, like we were talking earlier about the things of the world that we possess and value so much as necessity, but they're really not. See, it's just the way we look at them. See? If I had a chunk of gold in my hand, the size of a baseball, and had a diamond the size of a baseball, and I had a piece of mud wrapped up as a, you know, like a big ball, like a baseball, to me, they're all three the same thing. But how do people value them? They see the diamond and the gold and they'd kill you for it. That mud, they just take it, but it's the same thing. It's just something that will pass. It's in this earth. It's in this realm. Flesh and bone shall not inherit the kingdom. Nothing corruptible will enter the kingdom, will it? And gold and diamonds will perish. They'll all perish. It's not important. That stuff's all temporary, transitory, to pass by the using. It's all vanity. Verse 7. There is a path which no fowl knows and which the vulture or the hawk's eye has not seen. And I'm going to go ahead and read the 8th verse and then I'll get something else and put them together. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. What's the fierce lion? The beast nature, the carnal mind. What's the lion's whelps? That's the babies that come forth from there. It's the fruit of the lion, the carnal mind. So that, what would that be? The proud thoughts in the mind. Okay? Now, if we go into Isaiah 35, hold your place here. I'm going to turn to Isaiah 35, read you something. 35, 8, 9, and 10. And a highway shall be there, a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. They won't get there, in other words. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast go thereupon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's exactly what he's talking about. Isaiah is speaking exactly what Job was speaking about. There's a way that nobody can get there because it's a spiritual walk. It's not literally a highway someplace where somebody can walk on. It's talking about a lifestyle that you find in tabernacles, a lifestyle that you find in the third day. That you can't get there by talking about it. You got to walk it. And he said the fowl and the lion can't get there. Nobody can get there. If Passover and Pentecostal realms don't understand it, people of the world don't understand this, and they can't get there because it's something that God opens up in our minds to let us see. He said the ransomed of the Lord will return there. See, they'll return. See, we've all been ransomed of the Lord, but guess what? Everybody don't know it yet, do they? The ones that do know it, they'll be all right. They'll be back. Verse 9. Who's he again? We're still talking about God. He put forth his hand upon the rock. Literally, it's the flinty rock. Now, when he put forth, God put forth his hand, what is his hand? It's works. It could also be his fivefold ministry, his apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Okay? Upon the rock. And the rock is who? Christ. And he really gave Jesus, the man, The Christ came up in him to do the works of the Father, didn't he? He said, I come to do the works of my Father, right? Whatever he says, do, I'll do it, period. Said his face like a flint. Yeah, Isaiah said, he set my face like a flint. And there was another verse in there I was thinking of, and you said it cut me off there. It's all right. I was thinking of something there. He said in Isaiah, he said, I'll set my face as a flint. You know, a hard, that means setting his mind and no one's going to change it. He's going to set his mind toward God and not going to change it. When it talked about the flinty rock here in verse 9, Isaiah said he will set his face as a flint. That's a very hard stone. I think I know where it's, I think it's in Isaiah 55. Let me see if I'm looking right. Okay, it's Isaiah 55, 9 and 10 and 11 I was thinking of. Or I started in 9, 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Because as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Okay, so it's a saying that God's going to take care of all that. He sends it forth, he's going to take care of it. It says he overturns the mountain by the roots. Verse 10, God cuts out rivers in the rocks. Well, guess who the rocks are? It said he cuts out rivers. Do you know what that means? He cuts out rivers in us. Let me read you a couple verses. One in Psalm 78, 16. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused rivers to run down. He caused waters to run down like rivers. Talking about what went on in the wilderness with God. When the rock followed the Jews in the desert, he caused the rock to bring forth the rivers. And in John 7, verse 38, Jesus made this statement. He that believes into me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly or out of his spirit shall flow rivers of living water. Well, the word flow is the word rheo, where we get our word rhetoric for words. There'll be a flow of words coming out of us. He's not talking about literal water. He's talking about the flow of the spirit coming out of us in word. John 7, verse 38, he said he'll cut those rivers in the rocks, correct? I'm going to read you a couple verses. Go into Peter. In 1 Peter 2, 5, ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, or through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 and 20, it says, and are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into the holy temple of the Lord, in whom you are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Not through your own effort, not through God, man's effort, but through the Spirit, the effort of the Spirit. Okay? In Revelation 3:12, him that overcome will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Remember the name for Peter? Simon Peter and Cephas, a pillar. He said, if you overcome, you'll be a temple in my God, and he shall go out no more, right? It'll be a consisting of living in the Holy of Holies. And I will write upon him the new nature of my God and the nature of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of the spirit realm from my God, and my new nature. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You're going to be a pillar if you overcome. That means you got to go through a bunch of stuff. All that fire we were talking about. He's already said this stuff. And the rest of the 10, it says, and his eye sees every precious thing. Well, to God, everything is precious, whether we value it or not. He, verse 11, God binds or stops the floods or the streams from overflowing. And the thing that is hid brings he forth to light. He said he stops the streams from overflowing. Sometimes we have a tendency to want to flood people. True? We try to pour out too much stuff. God says, I'm not going to let the streams. He cut the stream out of the rocks, and the rocks we are, right? And that stream is a flow of words from the Spirit right out of us. And he says, I'll control the streams too. Didn't he say, don't take thought for the word you'll say in that hour, because the very hour you need it, I'll put the words in your mouth? See, you've got to trust that God's doing it. How many times have you said something and said, oh, I wished I hadn't said that? But you know what? David said, Lord, deliver me from the wicked, which is your sword. There's wicked in every one of us. I don't care what anybody says. God is in us, the tree of life, and the knowledge of good and evil, that tree is there also. And as long as we're here, as long, just like Jesus, while he was in the temptation, when the temptation was over, the devil, the carnal mind, departed him for a season. That means it came back, and he had to deal with that the whole time he was here. It was there, he just didn't let it affect him. And that's what we have to do. We have to understand we have power over all the power of the adversary, don't we? What can hurt us? If I know that I have all power, Ed, what could hurt me? There you go. That wasn't hard, was it? So why should I fear anything upon the earth? You see what I'm saying? I'm not telling you to be stupid and go jump off a cliff and say, I'm not going to die. I didn't tell you to. Don't walk out in front of a bus and say, I'm not going to die. That's stupid. I'm talking about living your life as you live it every day, and don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, because the day has enough evil to suffice for the day, doesn't it? Don't worry about it. God's already got it planned out. It will work out. Just let it go. Do what you can do to the best of your ability and let it go. Don't stay up all night worrying, did I make the right decision? Oh God, should I change something tomorrow? Go to sleep. That's what the bed's for. Go to sleep. Don't worry about what you've already done. Can you really change anything you've already done? It's history. No future in the past. Let it go. Let it go. Keep going. Just don't look back. You know what happened to Lot's wife when she looked back? Jesus even said that in Luke 9:62. You put the plow to the hand and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Forget what's behind us. Just keep on. Just keep on going. Keep on going. Verse 12. And where shall wisdom be found or acquired? And where is the place of understanding? Mankind, verse 13, knows not the price thereof, neither is it found or acquired in the land of the living. You know what he's saying, the land of the living? You know what that means? The flesh. Wisdom and understanding is not found in this flesh. Wisdom and understanding is found where? In the Spirit of God. Verse 14. The depth said, it's not in me. What is the depth? Literally humanity. And what is the sea? Humanity. It's just a witness of saying, it's not in humanity. It's not in humanity. There's no wisdom of God in humanity. The wisdom of God is in the Spirit. See, everybody says, oh, God's in me, all this is in me. Well, it's not in you. Technically, it's inside of your carcass that you're walking around in, but it's not in you, it's in the Spirit. God is a Spirit, and he seeks you to worship him, communicate with him in spirit and in truth, not in the flesh. He wants to know you in spirit. It's the only way you can hook up with him. Verse 15, it cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price of it. Remember in Acts 8, what happened? Anybody remember what happened in Acts 8? Let me read you something. Let me read you a passage. But there was a certain man called Simon, which aforetime in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, and Samaria speaks of duality, that's Passover and Pentecost, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard because of that long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in his name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who when they came down prayed for them that they might receive, that they receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may also receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Now, first of all, that word matter there in the 21st verse. The word matter is the word logos. You have no part or lot in this word. We're talking about the word of God. So he was trying to buy the power of the word of God. You can't buy it. You cannot buy it that way, not with money. He said, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Same thing that he's talking about right here. Same thing. Okay? It can't be gotten for silver or gold. Verse 16. It cannot be valued with the gold. It, we're talking of what? Wisdom and understanding. Cannot be got with the value of gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot be equal it. The exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold, it being wisdom again and understanding. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, or literally crystal, it should say. For the price of wisdom is above, not rubies, but should be pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Again, we're talking of wisdom. Whence then comes wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Now the question again, where is it? It was in verse 12, and here it is down here again in verse 20. Where is it at? Seeing it, wisdom, is hid from the eyes of the living, and hidden or concealed from the birds of the air, or the thoughts of the carnal mind, okay? Destruction and death say, we have heard the rumor thereof with our ears. But God, and this word God here is Elohim, the plurality of God, the completeness of God, understands the way thereof, and he, God, knows the place thereof. Because he, God, looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under heaven. To make the weight for the wind, and he measured the waters by measure, or by measured portions. He let the water come out in measured portions. Does that tell you anything? Who's in control? He gives the increase as he sees fit. It's not about us. It says in Corinthians, Paul wrote and said that the gifts of the Spirit were measured out by the Spirit as he deemed necessary or fit, as he desired. Not our desire, but his desire. Okay? Right, just as we need it. See, it's in portions. He's not going to just break the dam and let it wash you away. He's going to give you what you need and what you can handle. Okay? Okay, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning, when he, God, made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Now, there's an NAS I want to read. Let me get NAS opened up here. Huh? I'm back here, though. I know, but I have to walk over there. And I've got several things here to look at, honey. I appreciate your helping. When he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it. What did he declare? What did he see and what did he declare? God said when he set these courses, he saw something. What did he see? Wisdom and understanding. He saw it. He said when he did it, he saw it. He already knew it, in other words. He already knew it. Then did he see it? At that time, he seen it and declared it. He set it up also and examined it thoroughly. What was it? What did he examine thoroughly and set up? Wisdom and understanding. God's in control of it all. And to Adam he said, behold, the reverence of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. The word man there is Adam. 120, Adam. And the word fear is yirah, 3374 in the Hebrew dictionary. It means reverence. Are we supposed to be afraid of our father? Why would I be afraid of someone who loves me? And look for him for security. Why should I be afraid of my father? See, the only reason we look at God and religious people say fear is because they don't understand their father. See, if I say the word, I'm afraid of my father, that is contradictory to the nature of my father. I'm not afraid of my father. He's love. Correct? Then why would I be afraid of him? See, the only reason we say that is because we don't understand the nature of our God. If I say, I'm supposed to fear God, no. I hear people say it all the time. Well, we're supposed to fear God. No, no. That's English rendering. That's not what the scripture says. See, if I fear God, then I don't know God. God will never hurt me. So why should I be afraid of him? He's love. Why should I be afraid of him? So if I listen to people say these words and I let them implant them into my thinking process, the next thing I'll do, you know what it'll be? I'll be saying the same thing they say. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Don't let people speak things in your mind that's not true. A lot of times people say things and sometimes it's wisdom and you'll just feel the Spirit just nudge you, don't say anything. And many other times people say things and they're contrary to the Word of God and they're going in my ears. And these ain't garbage pails, are they? I want the truth in them. So I'm not going to let somebody speak that falsehood into me, because I'll speak, I say, well, that's not the truth. God loves me. I don't have to fear him. I reverence him and honor him. And they say, well, it's the same thing. No, it's not. Fear and honor is not the same, is it? Two different words.
Reverence would be straightforward. Fear would be turning your back and going.
Because they're afraid of him. They don't understand him and they don't know him. If they truly see God, they would not run from God. God is an awesome God. But you know what? That still don't make me run from him. I want to embrace God. Why would I run from the only thing that can fix me? The only one that can make me whole. Why would I run from him? See, that's people that don't know their God. All they know is religion. And religion will never do it for you. The only thing that's going to do it is God. And the only one that's going to do it is the God that's living within you, the same God that's living within me. Whether someone recognizes that God or not is none of my concern. I'm just telling you the truth. You can choose to live and listen to any voice you want to listen to. But my book tells me this, my sheep hear my voice and the voice of another, John 10, they will not listen to. They will not follow. See, once I hear the voice of my Father, do you think someone can really take me down another road? That's hilarious to me. I've heard his voice. Nobody's going to take me the other way now. I want you to hear his voice so you can say the same thing. This is my gospel, as Paul said it. It's my gospel. Why? Because it's part of me now. I'm preaching what is me. This is me I'm preaching now. You're preaching you now. This is not some game we're playing, some religious social club we're setting in. This is reality of life. Not flesh, life. Eternal life. And if I don't come to a place where I understand that we are Christ's upon the earth today, not that we're going to control and dominate anybody, that's not the point. The only earth I'm controlling is the one I'm standing in. My part. I can control this earth. I can make it shut up. Because I've heard the voice of my Father. And until you hear the voice of your Father, you have no control over your earth. But he said, I've give you power over all the power of the adversary. When you put these things together, let God put them together in your mind and see, you're free. We're going to continue in this study next week and the week after until we finish this. Oh, there's still some beautiful things to come out of the book of Job. I mean, I know it's tough. I'm walking it just like you are. And whatever position in that walk you are, that's fine, because that's where God's got you. Everybody's got to go the same course. You know, we can't take an easier course than he took, can we? It's going to be tough. But you know what? I've done read this whole book. And at the end, guess what? Job gets restored tenfold. Tenfold greater than what he had started out with. So what am I concerned with what's going on right now? It's going to be better at the end, ain't it? Come on, look at the big picture. Open our eyes and see everything. It's going to be okay, no matter what goes down. See, he lost everything, didn't he? But he did not lose his relationship with God.